Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you celebrate Christmas? Perhaps Christmas is the excuse you need to take a break from life, to forget your troubles for a few days and instead spend time with friends and family enjoying good food and drink. Or maybe you love carols, as we sang in the service last night. Or perhaps the part you really enjoy is the ritual of opening presents with the kids or the grandkids. Now, none of these things is wrong. They're all good things, in fact. It's important to take breaks from the everyday and spend time with loved ones instead. It's uplifting to sing together, particularly to sing carols that speak of God's love and goodwill towards us. It's good to give each other gifts, especially when we see the excitement and joy in little faces. But if these are the only things Christmas is about, then sadly we've missed the most important point. Indeed, I've heard that some churches aren't even open today, so that Sunday worship doesn't interfere with family time. Those churches too appear to have missed the most important point of Christmas, which is to hear again for ourselves the good news first given by the angel to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So today I want to focus on the significance of the birth of our Saviour Jesus. But I won't be looking at it through the well-known Christmas narrative from Luke's Gospel. Rather, I want to introduce you to Isaiah's prophecy about Jesus coming in our Old Testament reading, which we heard earlier from Isaiah 62. I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. Pass through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Remove the stones. Raise a banner for the nations. The Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to daughter Zion, see, your Saviour comes. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought after, the city no longer deserted. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At first glance, you might wonder what Isaiah 62 has to do with Christmas, and I certainly wouldn't blame you for wondering that. After all, what does an ancient poem about Zion, another name for Jerusalem, have to do with the birth of a baby in Bethlehem? And what relevance does it have to our lives today? It's perhaps not surprising that I can't remember ever having heard a sermon on this reading, and it would be easy to simply skip over this poem in favour of the more familiar and more easily understood New Testament narrative. But as I mentioned in my introduction, I want to challenge all of us to think about what and why we are really celebrating today. And to do that, it's helpful to look at our Saviour's coming from a different angle, to look at it from an Old Testament perspective. So please persevere with me through a slightly longer introduction today. Isaiah was a prophet serving in Jerusalem during the reign of a number of kings of Judah, about 700 years before Jesus was born. A prophet, you may remember, was not just a future teller, although that was sometimes part of prophecy, but primarily a truth teller. Isaiah's job was to pass on the truth as God revealed it to him, not just to the rulers of his land, but to all the people, whether his message was popular or not. And so Isaiah spent a lot of time prophesying against the sins of Judah, declaring that God's chosen people were rebelling against him through corruption and idolatry. Isaiah warned them that if they continued in their rebellion, God would allow them to be exiled from the lands that he had given them. He would allow them to suffer the full consequences of their sin. But amid all his warnings, Isaiah also poured out words of promise and comfort, which is why the book of Isaiah is often called the fifth gospel. Isaiah let Judah know that God would not forsake them, even though they had forsaken him. God would remain faithful to his covenant, even when his people weren't. He would preserve for himself a faithful remnant of Judah, and he would send that remnant a saviour who would reconcile them to himself. Not only that, but through his saviour, God would reconcile all people to himself. God would save all people through his chosen Messiah, his anointed one. And it came to pass, as Isaiah had said, about 200 years after Isaiah's prophecy, God allowed the Babylonians to destroy Jerusalem and the temple and take the people of Judah into exile. There in Babylon, the people recognized the depth of their sin and they bewailed God's apparent abandonment of them. But, again as Isaiah had prophesied, God had not given up on his people. Using an unlikely anointed representative, Cyrus, the king of Persia, God saved them once again. After 70 years of exile, God returned Judah to the promised land and gave them the resources to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. Once again, watchmen were posted on the walls, and the gates of Jerusalem were open wide to welcome the returning exiles. As so often happens with prophecy, these words took on an even deeper meaning another 500 years later. God's true Messiah, a descendant of the kings of Judah, was born in Bethlehem. However, unlike Cyrus, Jesus did not control a world-spanning empire. He was not rich in an earthly sense. Neither did he seek to build strong cities and grand temples, nor was he parochial, seeking only to benefit one country or ethnic group. Rather, Messiah Jesus came to establish a kingdom not of this world. He came to create a new group of people, united not by race, but by faith in and allegiance to God. This community is described in the New Testament as the true Zion, a heavenly Jerusalem, a city characterized not by location or by buildings, but by the presence of God with his people. Jesus, often called Emmanuel, which means God with us, is the reason that Isaiah could write, "They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought after, the city no longer deserted." Jesus came to people in rebellion against God, just like the ancient Judeans, people who loved themselves more than they loved God and exiled themselves from him. But rather than finding spiritual freedom, we humans only made ourselves captives to sin in a spiritual Babylon. But God, rather than condemning and abandoning us, sought after us. He pursued us with a passionate love, just as I described to the children earlier. Through Jesus, God redeemed us from sin and called us to be his holy people. Through Jesus, God has prepared a way for people to come to him and pass through his gates. Christmas is like God raising a banner for all the nations and the proclamation to the ends of the earth. See, your Saviour comes. See, his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him. Our Saviour comes to give us a reward that transcends the physical and the temporal, that offers new life and new hope, not just for a few years here on a flawed earth, but for an eternity in Zion, in heaven. I hope you can start to see how much more profound this message is than the sentimental and commercially driven view of Christmas today. See, your Saviour comes. But for that sentence to make any sense, we need to first recognise our need for a Saviour. And that in turn means we need to confront our own sinfulness. Until we recognise our need for Jesus, we are not going to value his coming in the way that Isaiah intended it to be taken. Now, as I said before, I'm not bagging the celebration of Christmas. Christmas is wonderful. But we celebrate not for celebration's sake, but because of what Jesus has done for us. We give each other gifts at Christmas to remind us of the gift God first gave us, the gift of a Saviour. We sing joyful carols together because an angel choir announced the coming of that Saviour. And we enjoy the Christmas holidays not just to eat, drink and be merry, but to create space in our busy lives to reflect on and appreciate what God has done for us. What's more, by making Jesus the focus of Christmas, Christmas retains its message of good news, even for those of you who don't feel like celebrating today. I know that for some of you, Christmas is not necessarily a time of peace and goodwill in your family. Instead, it's a time when already strained relations start bubbling up to the surface. Others of you are celebrating Christmas without your loved ones, whether because they live far away or because they've recently died. And for some of you, sickness is preventing you from worshipping and celebrating in person. Or you might only be watching this service as a recording because you are required to work on Christmas Day. Whatever your situation, please be assured that the blessings of Christmas still apply to you. However you celebrate or commemorate Christmas, Jesus remains your Saviour. He is ready for you, as Pastor Mark reminded us last night. Jesus has not abandoned you, and he continues to bless you with his gifts of hope, peace, and yes, even joy on occasion, even in the midst of your earthly troubles. You can be assured of that because Jesus voluntarily entered into this world at the wrong end of town, as it were. He could have been born into a palace surrounded by servants, but he chose instead to be born into lowly surrounds, where an animal's feed trough was the best bed his parents could find. The king over all creation became a servant instead, a servant who was destined to suffer and die for you and for me and for the whole world. He gives us his gifts, not from a position of power and distance, but from a place of humility and closeness, where he can identify with us and sympathize with our problems. And Jesus continues to bring those gifts to you personally, even today. That's why we're celebrating the Lord's Supper today, on a day when you might prefer to be at home unwrapping presents in your pajamas. In the Lord's Supper, which we'll celebrate soon, Jesus gives you hope for the future by giving you a foretaste of the feast promised in Zion. Even more significant, the same Jesus who was placed in an animal feed trough feeds you with himself, keeping your faith in him strong. His body and blood will help you to struggle on until he brings you through Zion's gates to rest with him forever. As we finish our meditation on Christmas, I'd like to draw your attention to one final image from Isaiah's prophecy. In Isaiah 62, God says that he has posted watchmen on Jerusalem's walls. I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest, till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. These verses describe the role of Christians as God's evangelists and intercessors. We are all given the privilege of sharing the true meaning of Christmas with those around us. Through our words and also through our actions, such as worshipping here on a holiday, we can let people know about the Saviour who was born in Bethlehem and what his birth, life, death and resurrection means for us. We can also intercede in prayer for both those who have not yet heard or believed the message, and for our fellow Christians who struggle to rejoice in it due to their circumstances. As watchmen and women, we can say to others, see, your Saviour comes. He comes not just as a heartwarming story, an historical event, or even a future hope, but he comes now to those who put their trust in him. He has opened wide Zion's gates to allow his self-exiled children to return to him. Dear friends, see, your Saviour comes, and that's a reason to celebrate today. The Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to daughter Zion, see, your Saviour comes. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought after, the city no longer deserted. I pray that those words may bring you hope, joy, peace, and encouragement this Christmas, as you remember the birth of our Lord, Messiah, and Saviour Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.